Today's shiur, Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us in our previous shiur that the Beis Haskila was Chutz L'Machna. Chutz L'Bezdin was outside of the Bezdin. But the Gemara had identified that what that actually meant was that the Beis Haskila was Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. The question is, how do we know that? So says the Gemara Papa. Amara Papa says, the Torah says, "Hoytzias mekalo." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Take out this person who Rachman Slan cursed Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name." So points out the Gemara Moshe Echi Yosef. Exactly where was Moshe Rabbeinu when he gave this directive? He was sitting in Machna Leviya, because that was where Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That was where Moshe Rabbeinu was. And even though, as the Aruch Haner points out, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, he spoke to him from the Mishkan, he spoke to him from the Ohel Moed, it's clear, he says, that the Mekalel was not with Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan. He was in the Machna Leviya where Moshe Rabbeinu had left him to find out what to do. And the Pasuk after, so that means he was expelled, he was taken out from Machne Leviya. And then the pasuk continues to say, "V'yitzuas mekal mechutz l'machna." What does that obviously mean? That he took him out l'machne Yisrael. They was taken out even in Machne Yisrael. So we see that the pasuk is clearly teaching us that he was taken out from all three machnas. Ask the Gemara, but the pasuk of "V'yitzuas mekal mechutz l'machna" isn't that required to teach us Reboile Lasia, to teach us that they actually did as told? Answers the Gemara, Asiva Hedjiksiva, that they did what they were told. The Pasuk says explicitly, because the Pasuk says, Ubnei Yisrael Asuka Shetziva Hashem Es Moshe. So therefore, this other Pasuk is left over to teach us this halacha that he was taken out from all three machnas. Elamiata asked the Gemara, if we're saying that's what we learn from Yitzhu, when the Pasuk says, V'yigmas evan my avdalei, that Pasuk is also superfluous, because the Pasuk already says, V'rogma oisoi kol ha'eda, answers the Gemara, ha'um by l'chertanya. That Pasuk is needed for different purposes. That Pasuk is needed to teach us what we learned in the Braisa, V'yigma oisoi be'evan, oisoi, that they stoned him, V'loi b'ksusai. A halach that we're going to be discussing extensively in our shiurim, that he wasn't wearing any clothing when he was stoned. Evan, that on the other hand we learn, Shemeis b'evan echas, if a person is chayv skila, if one stone is what kills him, then yotza, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of skila, has been done. Says the Gemara, v'tzrich l'michtav evan, the Torah has to write the word Evan, and the Torah has to write, by the Mekalo, the Torah uses the word Evan, by the Mekoshish, the Torah uses the word Avonim, says the Gemara, Yisrael Mechtav Evan, V'Yisrael Mechtav Avonim. The Torah had to use both words, the word Evan and the word Avonim. Because of Rachmana Evan, if the Torah would have just written the word Evan, Havmin Hecha Deloimeis Behedja, if after throwing one stone at this person who's chayiv skila, hechad leimes behedya, if he doesn't perish from it, leinisach kriyta mekdalei, we don't have to bring another stone. Kos rachman avonim, to tell us that if one stone doesn't do the job, we have to bring more stones. Vikos rachman avonim, if the Torah would have written the word avonim, havmina mikera naisi tarti, from outset, we have to bring two, kos rachmana evan. That's why the Torah wrote the word Evan, as we just learned, to teach us that even one stone, if it accomplishes that the person dies, it's enough. We learned before that they took the Mekal out of all three Machnas. The way we learned that in our previous year was the Gemara had taught us a Gzeris Shava from the Parim and the Srafim. And the way we learned in our year, we learned it from we just learned, that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Machna Leviya, and the Torah says the word Vayotzi twice, to teach us that somebody who's chayv skila is removed both from machne leviyah and machne yisrael. Ask the Gemara, v'ha tana nami kamar. This tana said it gzeri shava, as we just said. Yes, in previous year we learned gzeri shava. So ask the Gemara, Rapapa, who's an Amira, has no right to disagree with a tana. So how could Rapapa ignore the gzeri shava? Says the Gemara, ilolai nemakama. The way to understand the Braisa was if we didn't have the Rapapa's explanation. Vachkami, ilolai nemakra. If we didn't have the psukim that we discussed in today's shir, hayisi oimer gzeri shava, I would use the gzeri shava. But achshav shenemakra. Now that, as we've learned in today's shir, Rapapa taught this based on a gzeri shava, on the pasuk. So of course, all the Mefarshim ask, the Gzeri Shava is a reality. There is a Gzeri Shava. What are we going to do with that Gzeri Shava? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that, as we've been learning many times in our Shurim, Milsa D'Asya B'Kavachoymer Tarach V'Kosel L'Kra, something that can be learned with a Kavachoymer, the Torah still goes out of its way sometimes to teach it, to teach a Pasuk. Here too is such a situation. Nilsi dasbik b'gzeri shava tarach because of lakra. Many mefarshim are troubled with that explanation, because as we've been explaining, something that's taught by a kavachomer, we could understand the concept of tarach because of lakra. The pasuk goes out of its way to teach it to us. The reason the Torah goes out of its way to teach it to us is to teach us that. We should, because it's based on logic, and logic could be refuted. But Gzeri Shava is not based on logic. If Gzeri Shava is not based on logic, why would we say Tarach V'Kosel L'Kra? So another pshat that I saw is that we often learn in our sugyas, that a person can't, Ein Adam Dan Gzeri Shava, Elm Kain Kiblei Merabbi. Somebody could only learn Gzeri Shava if he learned that Gzeri Shava from his Rebbe. And when we learn that those sugyas, the question that obviously comes up is, if my Rebbe didn't teach it, but if somebody else's Rebbe taught it, why should I not accept that Gzeri Shava? And the answer given is because there are only a certain amount of Gzeri Shavas, and everybody had that number. And if you're going to use the Gzeri Shava that you learn from different Rebbe, you may fill up the quota. And that's exactly what the Gemara means to say here as well. Yes, we could have learned the Gzeri Shava, but if we would have learned the Gzeri Shava, we would have used up the quota. And we don't want to use up the quota. A third teretz, which the Ran suggests, is that when we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, say the Kachim, in say the Kachim, there are very specific rules regarding Gzeri Shava. Dover Halomet, if something was taught through a Gzeri Shava, any yochel lachzul lamed can't be used to teach further halachas. And that's why we don't want to have a gzeri shava, because with a gzeri shava, we would be limited what we could do with the gzeri shava. Rav Ashi brings a different source to the halacha that we've been learning, that the base of skila was outside of all three machnas. Because says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, Moshe hach echav Yosef, where was Moshe Rabbeinu situated? The Machna Leviya. Vamalei Rachmana, and the Eibush, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Hoitzi es Mekalo, Chutz le Machna Leviya. And then the Pasuk says, El Mechutz le Machna, to teach us that not only was he removed from Machna Leviya, but he's also removed Chutz le Machna Yisrael. V'yoitzi es Mekalo. Then Rav Ashi continues to teach us, what does the Pasuk V'yoitzi es Mekalo teach us? L'siya, that they did as they were told. Ask the Gemara, there's already another pasuk that tells us that they did as they were told, because the pasuk says, "Obnei Yisrael asu kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe." Answers the Gemara, "Humi ba'ilei le'smicha l'tchia," to teach us that part of the skila process was that they threw him off the wall. Amalei Rabbanan Rashi l'da'ach, according to you, that whenever that the pasuk chutz machna teaches us that he was taken out of two machnas. Kol hani hoitzi the ksiva parim nisrafim. So every time the Torah uses the word hoitzi, you say it comes to teach us another machna that he's removed from. So ask the Gemara, kol hani hoitzi the ksiv be parim nisrafim my darsh bahu. What are you going to do with all of those different times that it says hoitzi? Says the Gemara, kasha, it's indeed a question. We know, we've often said in our shiurim, that there's a difference when the Gemara concludes with the word to yufta versus when the Gemara concludes with the word kasha. To yufta means that there is no answer. Kasha means that there is an answer. So I saw that the Achronim suggest that the reason it's a kasha is because all the times that the Torah says the word hoitzi by parim nisrafim, the Torah could not have written what it was writing without those words. And therefore, those words are not considered extra. And since they're not considered extra, so that's why there's no question that we should have learned something more from them. We learned further in our Mishnah, Echad Oymed, there was somebody standing by the entrance of the Beis Din, and he had a flag to notify if there was an argument for acquittal. Amar Rav Huna, Pshitali, Echad Evan Sheniskal, but it's to me obvious that the stone that was used to do the skila, Vecher Eitz Sheniskal Nitlaba, and the stone that the tree on which the person was hung, Vecher Tzayif Shneregba, the knife that's used for Saif, Vecher Suda Shenechnekboi, and the Suda that's used for Chanika, Kula Mishal Tzibur, the payment for these items come from the Tzibur money. My Tama, what's the reason? It doesn't make any sense that we should require that the person spend his own money to be killed. By Rav Huna, however, now the question Rav Huna asks, the Suda Shemanifimba, the flag that we just discussed, the horse that we have prepared, that if there's a reason to acquit, we're going to be able to bring back the people to do so. Who has to pay for them? Do we say kivin that sold the day? They represent the way that he can maybe be saved. So therefore, midideihu, it should be used from his money. It's the obligation of the Bezdin to do whatever they can to acquit him, and therefore they should pay for it. The su. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, Hada Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav Chizda, Hayotzi L'Maharig, if somebody is taken out to be killed, they would put Levana into a cup of wine, Kedei Shetarif Datei, in order that he should not be sedated, and he shouldn't be concerned about what's happening. And the question is, Shenemar, and we know this from the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tanu Sheikh La'ovid, V'yayin L'mari Nefesh, give wine to somebody who's in this state. The Tanya and the Brisa teaches us Noshim Yikarish Yerushalayim, the wealthy women of Yerushalayim, Haymasnadvos Omevinosam, they would donate this wine. What would be the halacha? Lo Yisnadmu Yayin Yikarish Mishalmi. If they wasn't donated, who pays for it? Says the Gemara. Ha Vadai, to me that's not a question. Ba'amad Mistab Mishal Tzibur. That this was paid from the tzibur, kivin the ksiv tenu, that the bezdin gives them. This pasuk refers to when Shlomo Melech, on the day of the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash, married the Bas Paroi, the daughter of the Egyptian emperor, and at that night he was up the whole night, and he overslept the next morning, and the keys to the Beis Hamikdash were under his head. And his mother, Bathsheba, nobody wanted to wake him up until his mother, Bathsheba, to woke him up. Why did he oversleep? Says the Gemara that because of the wine. Wine causes you to be sedated. The Gra explains that these people, these women who donated this wine, only did so with the permission of the husband, because a wife may not give tzedakah without a husband's permission. However, the Gra says If it's an asinu mu'etes, if it's not a significant gift, then we're allowed to give him. This is the basis why when people drink wine, they say l'chaim. The reason they say l'chaim is because, as we're learning here, a person who was Rachman Tzlan put to death, would drink a cup of wine. So when we drink a cup of wine, we say l'chaim. And what we're saying with the drinking of the cup of wine, that although this person was put to death with wine, we are going to be l'chaim. The Das Akedem Bali Tosfos gives a different reason why we say l'chaim over a cup of wine. He explains that there's a machlokes. What was the Eitz Hadas? What was the fruit of the Eitz Hadas from which Adam and Chava ate? And according to one opinion, it was wine. It was a grape tree. So wine brought this terrible punishment of death to the world. And that's why when we drink wine, we say a l'chaim. The Bach, however, gives a different explanation. The Bach explains that we know that Noach drank a cup of wine. And then we know what happened, that the story of Cham, what he did to Noach after he drank the cup of wine. So since wine brought that terrible story to the world, we say l'chaim, that the wine that we drink should not bring that type of destruction to the world. Our Gemara also teaches us that they gave this person, Rachman Tzlan, who was sentenced to death, wine with levaina to sedate him. So I saw that the Paradis Yosef says that this is the basis for the halacha. If somebody, Rachman Tzlan, is being killed, a Kiddush Hashem, the halacha is, even though it's a tremendous moment, he should, if he can, he should drink something that will cause him to be sedated. Because from here we see that there is no mitzvah to suffer. And the question that comes up that the Paiskim discuss, so what's the halacha by a bris milah? And many Paiskim suggest that the bris milah, also, if somebody who's having a bris milah and it's an adult where there's more pain involved, one may apply anesthetics before bris milah. That's the opinion of Eishel Avram. Dimri Yosha disagrees. Moreover, the Mefarshim explained this Gemara that they sedated him. First, we're going to learn that he had to say vidui. And the Mefarshim explained that he said the vidui before he was sedated. Because obviously, once he's sedated, he's not in a position to say vidui. There's an interesting question, as we just explained, based on a number of reasons why we say l'chaim when somebody drinks a cup of wine. The Paiskim discuss what is going to be the halacha if somebody drank whiskey. Do we also say l'chaim by whiskey or only say l'chaim by wine? So actually, it really depends. There are two reasons why we say the l'chaim. One reason we say l'chaim is because, as we just said, the Eitz Hadas was a grape tree. If that's the reason, then the halacha is that we should only say l'chaim on wine because of the Eitz Hadas, which was wine. But if the reason that we say l'chaim is in a commemoration of our Gemara, that when a person was, Rachman Tzlan, taken to death sentence, they gave him something to sedate him, so it didn't necessarily have to be wine. Whiskey would have been just as good, that would accomplish the same thing. And therefore, if that's the reason why we say l'chaim, so the minhag should be that we should say l'chaim even on whiskey, which is the minhag ha'olam. There's also discussion when the l'chaim is said. And most Paiskim are of the opinion, the bracha over the wine or over the whiskey should be recited. Then you should drink a little of it and only afterwards say l'chaim. There is no right to say the word l'chaim as a interruption between the bracha and the drinking, because we know whenever you're going to make a birchas hanenin, you have to make the bracha and without interruption eat or drink. There also the minig is to, where we make a bari priya gofen, we say savri maronon, and there are those explain that the reason we say savri maronon is also for the same reason that we see what wine can accomplish. So that's why before we make a bracha on wine, we say savri. However, others explain that if they, the way the savri was instituted was because usually, very often, as is the case by kiddush, one person makes the kiddush for everybody who's going to hear the kiddush. So he first announces savri maronon, which means everybody should stop and take and listen to what I'm going to say in order that you should be able to be yotzu with my bracha. If one of the Talmidim who were there by the Sanhedrin says, "Yesh li lamed alav zchus," I have a reason to exonerate this person. But before he could say what he has to say, he lost the power to speak. Mahu, what is the halacha? Do we have to be concerned that he had a cogent argument, and therefore we have to be concerned and not be able to kill him, or he didn't say it, and he was found guilty, so we carry out the death sentence? Says the Gemara, Menachar Rav Sheshes b'yodei. Rav Sheshes waved his hand. In other words, he said, I don't think that this is a serious question. If you're worried about Neshtatik, then you should also be concerned that there may be somebody on the other side of the world who has what to say. Just we're not concerned for that because we have no reason to be concerned. Answers the Gemara, it's not a good point. Hasam lekomer. There was nobody who came up with a argument. So to be concerned that after Besdin issued a decision, somebody has a reason to disagree, that's not something the halacha requires. Hacha, but here, this Talmud said, I have what to say. So ask the Gemara, Mai, what is the halacha? Toshma, Dom Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, Echem Talmidim Shazika, if one of Talmidim came up with a reasoning that he should be acquitted, and then before they could actually vote, he passed away. The halacha takes into consideration that his opinion and his vote. But what do we see from here? Zika in, because he actually had the opportunity to say the reason he feels that this person is innocent. But if he never articulated what he had to say, loy. So according to this, if the person who said, I have what to say, never got a chance to say it, the halacha seems to be quite obvious that we don't count him. Says the Gemara, no. The way to understand is as follows. Zika, if this person said that I have a reason to acquit, and he gave the reason for acquittal, and then he passed away before the vote, pshitale, that we take that as a vote for acquittal. But when somebody just said, Omar, I have a reason, but he never had the opportunity to give the reason, says the Gemara, that, the Bailach is a question, how should Besdin view that situation? Said, we learned in the Mishnah, afilu hu, even if the person himself says, I have a reason to say why I should be acquitted, we keep on bringing him back to Besdin, as long as we see that he has something significant to say. Says the Gemara, does that mean even the first time he has something to say, we bring him back? For Tanya asked the Gemara, doesn't the Braisa say, whether what he said is significant, or whether he said is not significant, we always will reconvene. If what he said is meaningful, we'll bring him back to Besdin. If what he said is not meaningful, so we don't bring it back. Says the Gemara, indeed. Amra, Papa Tergema, that we're going to explain that the Mishnah is Mipam Shni Ve'elach. From the third time on, we have to see what he's saying is significant. So the Tosfos actually says there's a machlokes. What does that mean? Does it mean the first three times we bring him back over under all circumstances, and only the fourth time, or after two, or by the third time already, we only bring him back if we see what he said is significant. And the Or Samech explains that this machlokes is really based on the famous machlokes of Rebbe and Reb Shimon. There's a machlokes throughout Shas between Rebbe and Reb Shimon if how many times, with how many times is a chazaka established. So if you say a chazaka established with two times, so the third time, so if he said it twice and it turned out not to be meaningful, so the third time he has to have Edom, as we're going to learn in a moment, to back up that what he's saying makes sense. If you say a chazaka is only established with three times, so the first three times, if he says something, we'll bring him back. And only after the third time, at the fourth time, will the halacha say that we don't bring him back unless the Talmid Chacham say he has what to say. Menayadi. So now we're saying, at a certain point, we don't bring him back unless we know what he's saying is meaningful. How do we know? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, the Masrin Le'ezugah the Rabbanan. We have two Talmid Chachamim who accompany him, Iyikam Amshadvarav, and they analyze. If what he said is meaningful, then they'll reconvene the Bezdin Eloi, but what he said is not meaningful, Loi, they won't reconvene the Bezdin. The Yad Ramah says that truthfully, you would need one person would be enough to make that evaluation. The reason, says the Yad Ramah, they had two is because we want to have edus to what happened, and that's why we have two people accompanying him. So ask the Gemara, if we could have this procedure that there should be somebody accompanying him to make the evaluation, so why don't we do that from the outset? V'lim salei mi'ikara. Answers the Gemara, Agav the boss, the person who is being taken to death is obviously not in a 100% clear state of mind. We're concerned that he doesn't have the ability to express himself. So the first two times we'll accept it, we'll be concerned about that, and we'll send somebody along. Afterwards, we no longer do so. Says the Mishnah, Matzlo is chus, if he indeed came up with a reason for acquittal, patrua, they let him go home. V'mlav yotzel sokol, the cruz yotzel funav, as this person was taken to the base of Skila, they would make an announcement, ish pleni ben pleni yotzel sokol, al sha'ov aveir plenis, he's being taken for stoning for the specific aver he did. Or plenty of edav. These are the edim. Kamesh yidei leschus. If anybody has a reason that he should be acquitted, yavavi lamadolai. Says the Gemara, it's om abaya. The tzarech leimen, in a part of this pronouncement, has to be b'yoyim pleni, b'shar pleni, b'makim pleni. Dilma ikka yadi. Why were all of these details necessary? Dilma ikka yadi. Maybe there are people who know that these Edom were not there and they turned them into Edom Zomrim. Also, by hearing this pronouncement, they'll come. V'kruz yotz l'fanav, says Umara, v'lfanav in. Only when he's actually being taken out to the base of Skila. Mikara, but there is no need to make this announcement at any other time. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Whoever is able to destroy his Yetzahara that tries to get him to do Averis, umas father love, and he says vidui for his Averis, malal of akasav, the Torah treats him kilo kibdul HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shnei olamim, as if he gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu great covet in both worlds, olam hazav, olam haba, the ksiv, zaveich, toido, yichab, the nani. So Ma'as Shah explains, a Kovis Yitzroy refers to Lahaba, to the future, that he won't do Averis. And Mesfada refers to the Ovar, that he says Vidui on what he did. And he says what the Gemara means to teach us from the Pasuk of Zoivich Toyda Yechab the Neini, we learn from here the double Nun. The double Nun comes to teach us that it's for Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And the Maral explains that even though in the Olam Haba there is no Ra, there are Averis in Olam Haba. So what's Pshat that he's doing in Olam Haba? So the Maral explains that the status of Olam Haba is very much dependent on how the Olam Haza looks. He explains that the Gemara says, V'hoi Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, v'yoyim ahu yeh Hashem achod shmai achod. That day, Hashem achod shmai achod, Hashem's name will be great. So he asks, why? What do you mean v'yoyim ahu, in that day Hashem's name will be great? Isn't Hashem's name great in this world already? So he says, in this world is Yetzahara, and since there's Yetzahara in this world, so the name of Hashem is not yet great. When does Hashem's name truly get great? That is when the Yetzahara is removed from this world. And that's only going to be by Yoyim Hahu. I saw a nice pshat that Avada, he has to say Vidui. Isn't Vidui an integral part of doing tshuva? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained what the Gemara means to say over here. It's not just that he does vidui, but he articulates that if he does tshuva and he pronounces the vidui, then the vidui is a meaningful vidui. If he doesn't pronounce the vidui, then it's not considered a very meaningful vidui. The pasuk says, "V'kisayitzbuchu zevach toidel Hashem l'rtzoinchem tizbuchu." And now we're learning in our Gemara that the toida means that he does tshuva on his yetzahara. When somebody is able to eliminate his yetzahara, l'rtzoinchem tizbuchu. At that point, the pyra says that he will have the l'rtzoinchem. He will be merutza. He will be loved by Kodesh Baruch Hu. As the Beis Hamikdash was standing, Adam makriv carbon oil. If somebody brings an oil, skar oil biyodoy, he gets credit for carbon oil. Mincha, if he brings a carbon mincha, skar mincha biyodoy, he gets the credit for the carbon mincha. Avamisha dat shvela. If you have a person who's humble, ma'alav akasav kila kark of kalbaran's kulan, the Torah reckons it as if he brought all the kabanish. Nema Zivchei Elokim, when is it considered as if you brought all the different types of kabbonis? Ruach Nishbar, when you are a modest, humble person. V'loyoid, et she'ein tefilas nemeses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his tefillah. Shenemar, neiv nishbar v'nitka, a broken heart, and Elokim, le'sivza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it ignore. I saw the Rebbe Rabbonim says, what's pshat schar oyla biyodoy? He says that when somebody brings a carbon biyodoy, he thinks that he has something in his hand. He thinks that he accomplished something. But when somebody brings nothing, he has nothing to make him feel special. When somebody brings a carbon and he recognizes that he has nothing other than what the other that he could come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at that point HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his tefillah. Somebody who's that the shvela realizes that he's nothing. Rak, the only thing that makes him great is the kosev, the fact that he connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the way that if he connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the way that a person can accomplish that his tefillahs will be heard. Says the Mishnah, Hayurachman Beis Eskila Kes Emes. He's about 8 Amos away from the Beis Eskila. Omer lo Yosfadim. They tell him, say Vidu. Shekein Dor Kala Mumsim. They tell him, everybody who's taken out to be killed, Misfadim. Shekom Misfadim, whoever says Vidu, Yesh lo Yichelik lo Olam Haba. The Mefarshim ask, in the previous Gemara we said, that his tefillahs are listened to, and ain't philosophy in the messes. What does that mean? So I saw that ain't philosophy in the messes, somebody who is so humble, maybe is not wearing, says the Shavus Yaakov, the proper clothing when he davens, and somebody comes that way to tefillah, maybe his tefillah is not accepted. Another pshat is that sometimes we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should take away from us bad. But how do we zoicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us good? That's pshat for ein tefillosoi nimsmesis. Another pshat is that normally tefillah should be said b'loshen kodesh. But this individual, in whatever language he says his tefillah, it's accepted. Similarly, we know that normally tefillah should be said with tzibur, with a minyan. This individual, even if he davens b'yichidus, ain't filosoi demeses. The reason the vidui is said 10 amos away from the base of skila, explained the Rishonim, once he's so close, we're concerned that he's not going to have the clarity of mind. And we want him to say vidui while his mind is clear. Moreover, the Yad Ramah said that normally, as we know, an integral part of the vidui is vidui al over, expressing regret on what you did, and kabbalah al osid. The Yad Ramah says that there's no need for kabbalah al osid, because kabbalah al osid is only in a person that's going to be here. If somebody is not going to be here, then the halacha is he only has to speak about the avar. He need not speak about the osid. And says the Gemara, where do we have a precedent for this? She came at Sina ba'ochem, as we're going to learn. Ochen used what was chayrim, what Yeshua declared as chayrim. Shamal Yeshua. Yeshua says to Bnei Simna kvoy l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael v'sein lo toida. Say vidui. Admit. V'yan ochen as Yeshua v'yoma omna anoichi chatosi v'chazois chazois. Omenayin shekipa lo vidui. And how do we know that the vidui was effective? Shenem v'yom Yeshua machatonu yacharcha Hashem b'yom hazeh. From here we learn b'yom hazeh ata ochur v'yata ochum loylam haba. V'emeni yideh l'svadis, but continues the bright Mishnah, if this person is unable to say vidui, I'm maloy, we tell him emate mesosi kapara klav and I say, this should be we should tell him that this death should be in place for what I did. Then the Mashal explains what this means is that what this person means to say is that if he doesn't have the ability to detail all of his averis, this will be adequate. Rabbi Huda Omer, Imha Yodei Shumazum, let's say this person knows that he's really innocent. Omer Tei Misasi Kapara Kolav and Isai, this, what's happening to me, should be a kapara for all of my averis, chutz me avon hazeh, except for this avera, because he clearly believes that he's innocent. Amr lo, the Chaman tell Rabbi Yehuda, im kein, ye kol adam omrim kein, everybody's going to say this, kedei lanakas asatzman, to show that they're really innocent. And therefore, we cannot encourage that this should be said. Tana Baran, the Pasuk says that Yeshua said to Achim, b'ni sim no kovel Hashem. And says the Gemara, as we know, ein no, whenever the Pasuk use the word no, it's a Lashon Bakasha, please. B'shasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshua Chata Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeshua that somebody from Kla Yisrael had benefit from what you had declared Chayrim. Amal Fana Baruch Hu Mi Chata, who exactly is the one that did so? Amalei, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, V'chid the Lutarani, am I going to disclose that? Lech Hapel Garolus. Make a geirul. So says the Gemara, Holok v'hippa geirulus, Yeshua made a geirul, v'naf ha-geirul on Ochen, and the geirul first fell on Yeshua, on Shevet Yehuda, of which Ochen was a member, until ultimately it was identified as Ochen. Amma, like, at that point, Ochen says to Yeshua, Yeshua, the geirul at the balai, you want to identify me through a geirul? What will be, he said, if ata loza Koin, you and Elazar Koin, who are the Shnei Gedolei Ador Atam, you're the most important people in Klai Yisrael. Im ani mapel aleichem geirul, if I would choose a geirul on you too, aleichem em neifel, it would ultimately fall on one of you. Amalem, and at that point, Yeshua was getting concerned because he said, Al toitzi laza geirulus, please don't create a tumult around the Goyrel. We know that ultimately, as we learned in Masechet Baba Basra extensively, that Yisrael was divided through a Goyrel. As the Pasuk says, Ach b'Goyrel yichalek haaretz, he says, Tein toida, admit to what you did. Of course, Tosis points out that the Goyrel that was done in the division of Eretz Yisrael was not really the same, because the Goyrel that was done in the division of Eretz Yisrael, they had the Urim v'Tumim. Here there was no Urim v'Tumim. But still, once there's a issue around Goyrelos, Yeshua became concerned. Amar Avina, Shukhto Yishakhto B'Milei. He bribed him. He says, Klum Mevakash M'cha Alay Da, all I ask from you is to admit, Ten Toida V'Potter. Say, admit, and you'll be off the hook. Yad V'Yan Ochaz Yishua V'Yoyma Omna Chatos L'Hashem Al-Kei Yisrael U'Kazois U'Kazois Asisi. So the Mepharshim ask, if Yeshua made this deal, how did he ultimately kill him? So I saw the Mepharshim say, because part of the deal was that Ochan would remain silent afterwards, but he didn't remain silent. Omer Rav Ami, Omer Rav Chanina, Melamed Shemal Ochan B'Shloish Charomim. And this is also an answer. On this Cherim, maybe Yeshua had made this arrangement with him, but there were other Charomim that he violated. Shnayim B'mei Moshe, two in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. One was when Moshe Rabbeinu held battle in Kanani Melech Arod. And at that point, the Pasuk says, V'yidi Yisrael Nedel Hashem, V'yomar Emnosen Titin Le'es Amazah B'yodi V'charamti Es Areyem. Everything was declared Cherim. And the other time when they went to battle, that they also made whatever they found into Cherim. The others say that the other Cherim was in the time of battle with Amalek. V'achs V'mei Yeshua Shenema Kazois U'Kazois Asisi. This is the third time. Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, Chamisha, four times that Ochan violated Cherim. Abba B'mei Moshe, four times in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'echem Mei Yeshua, Shenema Anoich Chatasi Kazois U'Kazois Asisi. And from the Gazois, from the Chaf, we add another time. Ask the Gemara, V'adhashtamai Le'anish. So if he had done this so many times, why was he not punished until now? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, Lefisha Anash Al Anastaris, when something wasn't well known, the Averis that were well not known, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't punish them until Atsha Avos HaYarden. And as the Shalsa Tshuvis, Avdi Nezer explains the Gemara, the entire concept of Arvis, the one Jew is responsible for another Jew, only came when we came into Eretz Yisrael. So, and I saw the close Rebbe explains that in Chutz Loretz, there's a Mechitza Shabazel HaMafsekes Bein Yisrael Avim Shemeshmayim. So since our level of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that great when we are in Chutz Loretz, so just like the level of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that great when Chutz Loretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish us for the Nestoris in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, but this issue, if there's punishment for Nestoris prior to being in Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, Ketanoi, is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. The Pasuk says, HaNestoris L'Hashem Elokeinu, V'Niglos Lanu L'Vineinu Ad Olam. HaNestoris L'Hashem Elokeinu. These are various that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of, and we are not punished for them, but on various that are known, everybody, the tzaddikim, will be asked to give din v'cheshbon. And says the Gemara, Lomal nokr alonu uvenenu v'l'ayin sheba'ad. We look in the sake of Torah, on top of the words lonu uvenenu, and on top of the word, the ayin of the word ad, there are dots. Melamed, shle'onish al nestaris, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish for the nestaris, ad she'av Yisrael as a yardein. So, what we learn from this pasuk that for the averus that the rishayim do, that the lano of neinu, that we will be punished even for those averus. The Rebbe Yehuda Amar Mechami B'chin Nestaris La'olam LeKavanema Ad Olam Alkshem Shlo Anish Al Nestaris. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the tzedakas, Kach Lo Anish Al Ein Shishbegoloi Ad She'av Yisrael Seyadei. So we see from here that they weren't punished. So the Gemara explains that if they weren't punished, Why, if according to this, the tzaddikim are only punished on the averus that they do begoli, but even after they come to Eretz Yisrael, they're only punished for averus begoli. So in other words, if we say that tzaddikim are punished for all for the averus after we come to Eretz Yisrael, the tzaddikim are punished even for the nestoris. So the Gemara makes is very understandable. Prior to their coming to Eretz Yisrael, they were not punished. The tzaddikim were not punished for the nestoris, and that's why Achim wasn't punished. Only once they come to Eretz Yisrael does that become a factor. But according to the opinion that even after they come to Eretz Yisrael, we're not punished for the nestoris. So why, if that's the case, so why are we going to be punished for the averus that Achim did? The averus that Achim did were done besaser in a way that nobody saw. And it says the Gemara, Ella, my time and Nenish, why were Klai Yisrael punished for the averus that Achim did if nobody else knew about them? Says Mard Mishum Davi Yodibay, it wasn't just Achim who knew what he did. Ishtu Ibanev, his wife and children, were aware of them too, and therefore it's not in the category of Nestoris. And as I saw, the Meiri explains, the halacha is that Kol Milsa, anything that's known by three people, the Gemara Masecht Ervin says, Lester B'Shem Lishna Bish is not considered Lashon Hara. It's considered something which is public. Here too, the fact that Achan's wife and children knew about it, that is enough to make it be considered public. It's no longer in the category of Nestoris.